Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season number 3, episode number 7. How's it going?
You know, it's going.
It's going.
It's been quite the week. It's been the week of terrible, no good, very bad A's news.
It's true. As many of you know, the A's are in an agreement to purchase, I believe, 49 acres just off the Las Vegas Strip, with the intention of building a ballpark there. It all sounds not great, obviously. This is not the type of news that any of us wanted to hear at any point, although I think we all knew on some level that this is news that we might hear at some point. Obviously, like, a lot to unpack, but I don't think they're toast. I don't think it's fully over yet.
We're here to tell you that if you want to remain hopeful, we'll be right there with you. Why not?
One thing that I really do want to get to super quick is that I keep reading on a lot of releases that it's a binding agreement to buy land. It is not a binding agreement to buy land. It is, there are certain people that have been working for the A's that I guess are technically still working for the A's, but some of us might say are working against the
A's
at this
point.
We're talking
about Dave Cannon.
Some of the vernacular is very interesting. You know, I've seen tons of clips of tons of interviews through a few interviews with him now. I also find it very strange that he was completely radio silent forever and now seems to have all sorts of things to say. But he said the main deal was with the maritime polluters. And the main hiccup was the maritime polluters getting in the way of the Howard Terminal.
He said that
ballpark.
Recently?
Yeah, he said that, I think, maybe yesterday. And it's just, you know...
So all the steel companies that love polluting the water don't want to stop polluting it, and they just won't...
The way he chooses to phrase things sometimes doesn't paint him as a very nice... He's kind of a smart me, I would say. You know, it's...
He's a smart you?
Smarmy. Smarmy. No, smarmy is in snaky.
You're too smart for me, Dan.
He's a snake in the grass. But anyway, so yeah, it's bad. It's not been a very fun week.
And the news dropped just in like terrible fashion. It basically was broken to us as the mayor of Oakland was like, "Yeah, the city of Oakland's ending negotiations with the A's because they don't seem like they're negotiating in good faith. So it's over." It was basically what we were told.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "Yeah, we bought this land in Vegas," and it was like all happening at once. And
yeah, and it seemed
all
like
all of our closest friends started texting us, telling us they feel terrible for us. It was just rough.
Yeah. And it seemed like there was supposed to be a lot of negotiation done behind closed doors. And I guess also the fact that the offer had been made on the land was released. I don't know. It seemed like a lot of it wasn't done in very good faith. There seemed to be, I don't know exactly what's going on, but it doesn't seem like they're being very friendly to each other.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Seems like Oakland believes the A's were just kind of using them as leverage to drive up the price tag to make more money by going somewhere else. And who knows if that's true. There's also, as we're kind of hinting at, there's also like the possibility that this in itself is just like another step along the way to hopefully stay in Oakland. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of paths this could still take. Certainly doesn't look great on paper, but yeah, as Dan mentioned, this is not yet legally binding, and there's not a lot of reason to believe that it's going to be smooth sailing moving and building in Vegas. I mean, we've seen how tough it is to build in the city that they're already located in. Damn near impossible. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And I mean, there's a lot of there's an interview with a guy named David Sampson, who was in the Marlins front office for 16 years, and he said verbatim, I would say it's not a done deal by any stretch, for a number of reasons. A's haven't gotten public financing, and they're going to need it. It seems like they are also acting like that's done. You know what I mean? The tone seems to be like, oh, you know, yeah, I mean, the Vegas deal is kind of like on, you know, wrapped up and done. And it doesn't seem like that's true at all. It seems like, you know, there's a fair amount of people in Vegas also that aren't very excited. I mean, we know as A's fans, the last thing the ownership group of the Oakland A's is going to do is privately fund their own stadium. It's just not happening. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now.
They're going to need several hundred million dollars from someone else.
I mean, it seems like they want something like $500+ million in just public tax money. And I don't really care what state you're talking about. I mean, that's definitely not, you're not going to get $500 million+ in California of tax money for a sports stadium. I think the Warriors' new stadium in San Francisco was, I mean, quote unquote, privately funded, but I think mostly privately funded. I think they paid a lot of money for that stadium, and they definitely didn't get $500 million in public help. This is, I think, the perspective that some of us don't have that I thought about, I thought was very interesting. This is David Sampson on why the A's have a crucial deadline. Is there a chance the A's move to Vegas? Yes. But here's the problem. They've got to get a deal done somewhere by January of 2024. Not because their lease runs out in Oakland. Not because there's possums running around. Not because they got to hurry up and get to Vegas. But because in the collective bargaining agreement, if they don't have a stadium deal done by then, they lose their revenue sharing. That's the problem for ownership.
And boy, without that revenue sharing, they may not be one of the most profitable teams in baseball.
So I think, I know I'm being optimistic, but this feels to me like, yeah, I mean, it feels like they're trying to put pressure on Oakland, and they're trying to say, we're going to move to Vegas. If you don't give us what we want, we're going to move to Vegas. But I don't think it's that simple. I don't think Vegas is quite clamoring for a team as much as A's ownership would like them to be. At least that's what I'm hoping.
Who freaking knows? A lot of interesting sound bites being dropped. There's Dave Cavill saying they're going to keep the A's athletics brand, and Las Vegas A's has a nice ring to it, which, you know, we can all choose to disagree with.
And, I mean, I feel like this is obvious. I feel the need to say this, but I also feel like this is obvious. If we have people listening in Las Vegas and you guys really do want a baseball team, this isn't like, we're not trying to, like, dump on you. We don't have any. No, there's it's just not, you know, we don't want you to take our baseball team. You know, like, that's, it's, I think it might even be a good idea with a better plan in Vegas, but I don't think this is the one. And I don't think the A's ownership group is your people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we've been cursed with this problem. I almost don't want to pass it on to a different group of people who didn't do anything wrong. You know, I mean, and we've seen it a lot, and I fully agree. If anyone believes that a new stadium means that this ownership group is going to start investing heavily in the team, you are fooling yourself. they're going to run the team. I mean, the way that they ran it a couple years ago when we were building around, you know, the Mats and Mark Canna, you know, I mean, you try and develop some star players, and then you spend a little bit of money, maybe, but not enough to be in the red at all.
That's an Andrew Chafin and a Josh Harrison.
And that's exactly what's going to happen, even if they have a shiny new ballpark. So I also feel like that's important to consider for people that might be hopeful about, you know, big money contender in Vegas. If this team moves to Vegas, not happening.
Things could get really funky. Like, I was thinking about it this way. So, I mean, does anyone know how much longer the A's are going to play in Oakland if we move to Vegas? I think it sounds like not really. It sounds like we could theoretically start playing in the Aviators home ballpark like next year. They're saying that could work. I don't know. How does that really work? Like, there's got to be some home games for each team on the same day that it would be hard to work around. But all that, let alone that, I'm just thinking, let's see. Could be a realistic situation where 2 to 3 years from now, the A's are, like, good. They might be decent. They might have all of the young studs called up. The rebuild might be coming more or less to an end.
Yeah.
And then, so what if that's, like, the last year in Oakland? We win the division. Everyone knows we're leaving town the next year. It would just be so weird. There's no way we would get that many fans, even if the team was contending, because there's so many Oakland fans that are just so pissed off. And I don't know. I just feel like it could be such a bizarre situation. Like, team's on the up, but everyone knows they're leaving, so no one's coming out to support. So regardless of any exciting baseball being played on the field, the fan base just probably won't get that energized. Maybe there's a significant number of Las Vegas A's fans that we don't really know about that are ready and willing to take up the mantle, but I don't know. I don't see it. Things could get real weird.
Well, there's no ballpark renderings at all. Right. There doesn't seem to be any actual movement in terms of what they would be building on this land that they might be buying. They're, as we mentioned, asking for $500 million to help build this stadium. And I remember, I mean, maybe a year and a half ago, when Rob Manfred just kind of came out and said, like, oh, yeah, if they were gonna relocate, we would waive the relocation fee. Well, that's not how it works. It has to be voted on. The team owners have to vote on waiving the relocation fee from Oakland to Vegas. And I doubt, again, that's not a foregone conclusion that they would vote to waive the relocation fee, because there's no, you know, I mean, do we feel bad for John Fisher? Why would we do that? You know? So, I think there's more. The national narrative seems to be that the A's are gone and leaving for Vegas. And I think that's doing Dave Cavill and his team a lot of favors.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit frustrating, because it feels like it isn't quite there yet.
There's a long way to go. Who knows? As we mentioned last episode, we are Sacramento Kings fans. The Kings were on their way out of Sacramento to Seattle not all that long ago. So, this has happened before. And who knows? It may not go the way everyone says it's going to go. Anyway, so all this while, I believe this news was announced last Wednesday night.
I think so.
Following Mason Miller's debut.
It was either that night or the next night. But I think you're right.
So it seemed like the A's were trying to... They threw this out late at night. Right before, Mason Miller makes his Major League debut. So kind of took the wind out of those sails a little bit. But he was pretty cool.
Totally.
He's pretty cool to watch.
He's electric.
Unfortunately, we didn't win that game. So just a quick recap of the games since our last episode. We lost the final two games against the Cubs, got swept by the Cubs at home.
Cubs are looking okay.
The Cubs are looking okay. Marcus Stroman was quite good.
And Bellinger might be back.
Bellinger is, MVP belly.
Yeah, and Steele was good. The Cubs are better than I thought they were going to be.
Oh, here we go. So Miller, in his debut, went 4 1/3.
I was against Justin Steele.
He struck out 5, walked 1, gave up 2 earned runs, 4 hits. But, I mean, he just looked freaking electric. And this
he
was,
hit, what, the 102.5?
102.5 was his highest pitch of the game, but I'm pretty sure he hit over 100, 12, 13 times at least.
And it was pretty easy. He was just kind of rocking and firing out there. Really explodes.
Yeah, set the new A's record for fastest pitch in the Statcast era, beating Frankie Montas by probably over an entire mile per hour.
If not more, maybe.
So he is as advertised. He pitched tonight, and he did okay. He hung in there. Unfortunately, Estuary Ruiz let a ball get by him in the outfield that got counted as a triple.
Yeah, who is scorekeeping this?
I'm getting ahead of myself, though. So, A's Rangers series. A's win the first game of the Rangers series, 5-4. Jordan Diaz with a big go-ahead home run in the ninth inning. And where was I? Oh, wrong box score. Familia with the save. Obviously, Chad Smith. Bullpen extraordinaire, had a scoreless inning in that game.
Chad Smith, Zach Jackson combo, man. That's
it's all we got in the bullpen.
Yeah, really.
We should definitely mention Sears absolutely dealt that day. Struck out 11 in 6 innings.
And he is
two.
He was the guy, hand to God, he was the guy that I maybe was not the highest on of the group
year.
Of dudes. And he has looked solid.
Totally. And it's important to remember last year we were pretty jazzed about him.
That's true.
He was one of the more exciting things we had going on last year. So, yeah, it's great to see him continuing to do what he has shown he can do. Although I'm not sure he has ever shown that he can strike out 11 in one game before. So, of course, come on the back of a good game, the A's had to go and get blown out 18-3. Fujinami did so terribly that he has now been moved to the bullpen. Adrian Martinez came in mop-up duty and got injured. James Capp came in out of the bullpen. He is no longer in the rotation. Jace Peterson made a pitching appearance in what was maybe a first, or at least a rarity. I believe the Rangers put one of their relief pitchers to the plate against Jace Peterson.
Yes.
So that was just a bizarre thing. I think Jace got the strikeout on him.
Yeah. But rough game. Rough game.
Is that guy even pitching? Oh, yeah, he was. Spores. He went 2 innings that game. So, that game was rough, as many of the games this year have been. Followed that up with a 2-5 loss. Jacob DeGrom.
Looked healthy.
Looked like DeGrom. He pulled a J.P. Sears, struck out 11 through 6.
He did give up a major tater to Shea Langeliers.
Shea Langeliers, who's banging it.
He is. He's been great.
And then now we have something fun to talk about. We'll talk about yesterday's game. So
the A's
won 11-10. Not only that, but they were dominating at one point. Of course, they blew that lead. They were winning 7-2. 7-1 at one point.
Was it 7? I think it was 7-2, wasn't it? 7-2 was the biggest lead, I believe.
I think it was very briefly 7-1.
Okay.
Blew it with a 5-run inning in the 6th for the Angels. That tied it up. Angels took the lead, 8-7. A's tied it up, 8-8 in the 9th on a bases-loaded walk to Rooker. And then came away with 3 more in the 10th and only allowed 2 in the bottom of the 10th. And they won, 11-10. So it took 5 home runs?
I believe so. Including back-to-back twice.
Including 2 sets of back-to-back jacks.
Which is, I don't want to get this wrong, which is per Sarah Langs, first time in A's franchise history they've had the same players go back-to-back twice in the same game. They have gone back-to-back twice 5 times overall in a game, but never the same players.
Wow. And I also saw there was a doubleheader, and I think it was like Sal Bando and Joe Rudy went back-to-back in each end of the doubleheader.
Yeah.
Maybe Reggie Jackson. Can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, never in the same game by the two players.
That is crazy, man.
Very crazy. And that's what put us up 7-1. And at the time, I was like, oh, hot damn, right. Freaking blow these boys out. But of course.
No, we did not.
If the A's
and I think you texted that at some point, right? Like, of course this game is tied.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
But Brent Rooker, right?
Brent Rooker. Have we even announced who did this? Brent Rooker. Jesus Aguilar. Dude, Brent Rooker's the truth.
And also, like, I think we touched on it. I think you touched on it a little bit last episode. That Aguilar is looking fine. Aguilar is definitely doing his part. But I mean, everyone's paling in comparison to Brent Rooker right now,
except for Carlos Perez. But yeah, yeah.
I mean,
he's not hitting taters at the same pace as Rooker.
It's starting to become less of a small sample size thing with Brent Rooker and more of a. I don't know if he figured something out or if he just needed a little bit of run. Because he looks legit, you know?
He looks very legit. He's walking. He's hitting taters. He's just straight up.
He's our best player. By
He's making it happen with runners on base.
Yes.
He is definitely our best player currently, which I'm not sure many of us saw going into the season. He wasn't completely out of the realm of possibility.
I will say, I'm pretty sure on this podcast, we were fairly high on Brent Rooker, on Connor Capel, and on J.J. Bleday. And right. Rooker and Capel Rooker's looked obviously incredible, and Capel's looked fine. Capel's looked good.
Capel does have an average over 300.
And I think J.J. Bleday is still crushing the ball pretty hard at AAA. So, yeah, you know, it does make me wonder. I don't think we'd be good. You know, I don't think we'd be first in the division or anything. But with anywhere near decent pitching, we've been scoring.
I think we'd be like barely under 500, maybe.
There are some games where we can't, it seems like we can't hit anything and we don't score very much. Like, I bet we've been shut out a number of times. I bet we're pretty high on the shutout list so far this year. But the offense definitely hasn't been the problem.
No.
I will say, this is our first extra innings win of the year. Obviously, we only have 5 wins, so a lot of wins are going to be our first something win of the year. But we were 0-4. So, first extra inning win of the year.
Wow.
So, it was cool. It was a good game.
It was. It was fun. It's fun to have fun watching baseball. That's how it's supposed to be.
It is.
Kind of interesting to remember that. So, moments of the week, we've really already touched on them. But for me, it was Mason Miller's debut. It was exhilarating to see a man in an A's uniform pump 102 repeatedly.
Yeah, and he looked... He's in the zone, man. Yeah. You know, he doesn't walk people.
He is attacking. And yeah, I'm not sure we're going to get that from Luis Medina, but we'll get there. Dan's moment of the week.
Winning in extra innings. Like, I mean, obviously, I basically just said my entire thought on that. You know, I mean, losing in extras, especially at home, is just infuriating. And the ghost runner rule makes things wild. You know, extra innings is a trip.
And we love to infuriate the Angels.
Yes. So it was great. It was great that we did it in extras, and it was great that we did it in extras to the Angels.
Okay. So our first topic really to discuss was the vague ass situation, and we did that. We don't need to talk about that much more. Although, I have been wondering, you know, if it worst comes to worse, what do we call ourselves? Are we still the Oaktown Boys? Do we become Vegas Town Boys? That doesn't sound
good. I don't think great. So. I
the
think
Vague we'd, Town Boys? Vague Town?
We'd have
Vege
to...
Town?
We'd have to... We'll have to talk about it.
We could just be the boys.
I think we're going to remain in blissful ignorance for the meantime. But also, yeah, I mean, we'll take suggestions if you guys want to hit us up with suggestions if that does happen. If you also don't want to do that, I understand.
We could just be Oaktown Boys forever.
We could do that. We could do that. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we are open. The lines are always open, obviously. But if anybody has any good ideas, it's a thing that we have to be adults about and like entertain. You know, it would be kind of weird to call ourselves Oaktown Boys if the team wasn't in Oakland anymore. So,
for what it's worth, I believe I speak for Dan as well when I say this. We fully intend to remain A's fans. Like, as long as this club exists somewhere, I don't really see myself abandoning it.
Yeah.
There's certainly a possibility that I fall out of love a little bit, I guess, or like less in love than I have been in my life, but who knows? I can't tell you how I'm going to feel until something actually happens, I guess.
I think you want to like prepare yourself for like not being into it less, but I don't think so. I don't think I will. Obviously it's a bummer, and it's like, I think most of it is just how like deeply connected this team being in Oakland is to like a lot of things in my life. And I think that's probably true for like a lot of people. And I think that's the hard part about it, you know? So like it being the same franchise, like I would have to still root for them. You know what I mean? It's still just like, it's still the A's, you know?
I think if they did rebrand to not the A's, I would consider jumping ship. I don't know. Why would they change their name? Like,
it
they
would
gotta
be
stay
weird.
The A's.
It would be weird.
The A's have moved many times.
At least
before,
three times.
And yeah. So, I don't know. There's a lot of ways to think about the situation. Like, moving is a part of their history. Maybe they're just due to move.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, too. And it's, you know, it's distance wise, it's kind of a wash for us down here right now.
Yeah.
You know,
from Santa Barbara, we get cheaper direct flights to Las Vegas.
So we could watch them play still. We could definitely still watch them play. It's not like they're moving to, you know, like Florida or
Europe,
Boston, yeah, or somewhere like that. And they're not even technically moving yet. But, you know, we're going through it with you guys. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks big time. I don't like it.
I basically just keep trying to come up with ways to make myself feel better. So here's one. If you had to choose between the Oakland A's staying in Oakland and never winning a championship ever again, or the A's moving to Vegas and winning like 5 in the next 25 years, what do you choose? I don't know. Winning sounds kind of cool.
Winning sounds cool.
So there's a lot of ways to think about this. And, you know, I encourage everybody to voice their opinions and do all you can to stand up for your Oakland A's, whether it's going to the protests or just tweeting a bunch. Just
I don't know
anything
exactly
that makes you sleep better.
And I don't. I think as this starts to progress, more ways to potentially like get involved in the process will make themselves more clear. So I mean, you know, keep an eye out for that, and obviously anything that we hear about in terms of, you know, showing up, writing in, voting on whatever, we will let you know. We'll let you know as soon as we find anything out, because we're here. You know, we're here for it. We're trying to keep them in Oakland. We're trying to do. Not that we can do anything, but if we can do anything, we're trying to. You know.
I believe there is a protest planned on the BART tunnel. I think April 28th, before the game, presumably.
Yep.
That'd be a good thing for everyone to get out to. Obviously, the reverse boycott that we've been planning as a fan base for like over a month now.
Yeah, still fully on.
I think still fully on. We gotta support our Oakland A's while we can. So on to the next topic. The A's have shaken things up a bit.
Yeah, obviously, the on-field thing kind of is getting more. They're changing the form, and they're trying to do some stuff.
They're making moves that I personally would have them make, you know, yeah. like in light of the current situation. So a little bit harsh, but not totally unexpected. James Capp has been optioned to AAA. I mean, he's just not the guy that he has been for the last couple of years. Clearly, he's still figuring things out after his shoulder surgery, so wishing him the best.
Hoping, and he's just not where we need him to be right now, which is okay.
Figure things out down AAA. Deremis Garcia, DFA'd. We've talked a lot about him in the past year. Doesn't mean he's off the team. Not sure I'm sad if he is.
Well, I think in my head, Jordan Diaz just took that spot.
Well, and so did like Ryan Noda, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Jordan Diaz hitting well is what I was hoping Deremis Garcia might be. And Jordan Diaz is way younger and is already doing it right now. So,
totally. We've got Sam Long coming to town, sort of in a trade, not really. As I think it's technically two separate transactions, but we more or less traded Cal Stevenson for Sam Long of the Giants,
which is fine. I'm happy with that.
Apparently, the A's and Giants like never make a straight up trade.
I didn't know that.
They always do weird things like this, like
really?
DFAs and cash exchanges. They like never trade one player for one player.
Wow.
So something we can maybe follow up on one day. But I've been reading some tweets about that. Fuji, after his blow up, has been moved to the bullpen, which honestly seems like the most obvious call. Like, I feel bad for the guy because they made a big deal about how he was going to get the chance to be a major league starter, and it was what he really wanted. But I don't know, man. Relievers that can dominate for like 2 to 3 innings are pretty valuable, and if they implode after the said 2 to 3 innings, I think I'd rather have them be a reliever than a starter. So, see how that goes.
Well, and I mean, he first of all seems like a super nice guy. His stuff is super nasty, but you gotta sit him down at a certain point. It's like, can you point us to an outing that we should believe in after 2 innings? You know, like, no, man. So I'm not surprised by, I'm bummed for James Capp. I'm bummed for Fuji. I'm not surprised at all by either one of those moves.
Fuji's got the stuff to be a lights out reliever.
I agree.
Or closer, whatever we need. So, I mean, this could be a good move. This could be a great move. Also very exciting, Luis Medina on his way, making his big league debut tomorrow. He's going to start against the Angels and Patrick Sandoval. And Mason Miller is just continuing to be in the rotation. Today was his second go. And still, I mean, looking worlds better than virtually every other option we have. So that gives us 2 absolute flamethrowers. The last time anybody could say that about the A's was like back before dudes even threw 100. So presumably the 2 hardest throwing pitchers in the starting rotation in A's history.
Yes, I agree.
So that's going to be very exciting. Hopefully Medina can avoid his walking issues, because that's definitely a thing. If you look at his numbers, he walks a whole crap ton of guys.
Yeah.
His career minor league strikeout to walk ratio is 1.7. I did a quick Google search. That doesn't sound good, and I wanted to get a little context. So this is a blurb from like 2014, so take that with a grain of salt. But it says, a very good K to walk ratio is 4 or higher. In 2013, 14 of 96 pitchers making their minimum innings pitched requirement were 4 or higher, including both Cy Young winners. Goes on to say, generally a ratio around 2.75 is considered good, while anything under 2 would be a sign of concern.
And he's got a 1.7?
He's got a 1.7 on his career.
Interesting.
This year in AAA through 9 innings, it was at 1.38. So, yeah, he does walk a lot of guys. I mean, just even the raw numbers, 8 walks, 11 strikeouts this year so far. On his career, 274 walks, 468 strikeouts.
Not great.
It's just kind of rare to see a dude walk this many guys. So that will be interesting, because the A's are walking way too many dudes as it goes already. And yeah. So I'm hoping lesson number one that they're trying to instill in his head is throw it in the strike zone. We don't care if they hit it. We just don't want you to walk them. So something to look forward to. There have been changes being made. We've talked about Jordan Diaz being in the lineup. Didn't even realize how many injuries the A's are fighting through right now. Drew Rosinski might be back soon. He's been making some rehab starts. But yeah, the list of injuries is pretty long now. Adrian Martinez, unfortunately, has got a strained right elbow, and he was looking pretty darn good before that happened. Seth Brown's expected to come back mid to late May. Ramon Laureano has got a strained groin. He's probably out maybe till the end of this week. Hopefully that's the end of that. Paul Blackburn still down there rehabbing. Manny Pena's out till early May. Poor Trevor May's down with anxiety. I mean, I just feel bad for the guy. I also feel bad for anything mean I've said about him on the podcast this year. It's just a frustrating year to be an A's fan, as we all know. But I wish nothing but the best for Trevor May, and I hope he can return to form. Domingo Acevedo's out. And then we got Danny Jimenez on the 60-day IL all of a sudden, not to mention Dalton Jeffries, Freddie Tarnak, or Kirby Snead. Much longer list than I had really fathomed. So, yeah, I guess that's the state of your Oakland A's. Losing off the field, losing on the field.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Yeah. But they're trying out some young guys, which is kind of really all you can look at right now. There'll be better days ahead one way or the other. There'll be more competitive days ahead one way or the other. Okay, so we got a, I got a random player for you.
All right.
You ready?
Hit me with your best shot. He is presenting the screen. Debuted in 2001 with Texas at age 23. Pitcher. Sort of was a starter. Went on to be a game finisher for the A's. Came to the A's in 03. Had his first real year in 04, making 53 appearances. Was pretty good. Two All-Star teams, 05 and 08. Yikes. Man, this is a tough one. All-Star relief pitcher. All-Star relief pitcher.
He's a starter a second time, being an All-Star.
Justin Dukeshire. Oh, my God. Dude, that guy, that poor guy, he didn't play nearly as many years as he should have.
No.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That was very good, and I was completely lost until you hinted at the fact that he was a starter again later in his career. So...
All-star, and on 05, I think as like our only all-star on a terrible team.
Yeah, and then was an all-star starter.
Right, that team wasn't good.
In 08? No, 05.
Oh, no, we were good.
They were fine, but they didn't make any noise. Did they even make the playoffs? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that was 88 and 74.
Man, Justin, the Duke. That dude is fun.
He's pretty decent pitching staff, actually.
Yeah.
Barry Zito, Dan Herron, Joe Blanton, Rich Harden.
Oh, man, Rich Harden. What I wouldn't give to go back in time and just make sure that man never got...
Okay, who's the... I would not have gotten this, but who was the fifth starter on that 05 team? Barry Zito, Dan Herron, Joe Blanton, Rich Harden.
Brett Anderson?
No. Further back.
I don't know. I need a hint.
His last name has two double letters.
Sarlous.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, yes. He was kind of good, too.
Yeah, he was. Closer. God, Rich Harden was so good. Closer was Houston Street, and Dukeshire was an all-star out of the bullpen. He was good. He's good. Nice. Almost a whip of 1.004. ERA plus a 198 in 85 innings.
Man, I would love that right now.
Yeah, he was essentially the setup guy for Houston Street.
Tell me his K to walk ratio.
4.47.
Ooh, over 4. we just heard about how that's elite.
85 strikeouts and 19 walks.
Oh, damn.
Highest on the team.
I wonder what he's up to now.
Highest on the team by a minute. By a little bit. Dan Heron. Dan Heron at 3.08 strikeout to walk. And then Justin Dukeshire at 4.47.
I feel like Dukeshire is like head chef at a world-class restaurant these days.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, or like a sommelier.
Or like excellent golfer. World's number one dad.
Okay. Well, what's the coolest thing you saw? Okay, well, I'll go first. Coolest thing I saw in the MLB this week was
the A's.
Rooker and Aguilar going back-to-back twice in the same game. That's awesome. You know, I mean, in a down year, that may be our highlight of the year. That's awesome. That's super, super cool that happened. Very
well could be. And it was fun because, like, the whole baseball world was watching that game last night because it ended up being kind of an exciting game. You got Ohtani and Trout fighting to take the lead back and take the victory. But, nope, can't beat us.
You shouldn't throw strikes to Brent Rooker. That's what they learned.
That's why they walked him. That's why they chose to walk and run instead of face him in the ninth.
What about you?
Was having a little trouble thinking about this one, but the thing that struck me as pretty cool was Tatis is back, and today in the outfield he was getting taunted by the Cubs fans. They were chanting he's on steroids, and he just started dancing to it. He just did a fun little jig to their taunts.
Yep.
And obviously I was sad when Tatis was popped with steroids and disappointed in him. But man, if you're gonna come back, you gotta keep your head up, and you gotta take all that stuff on the chin, and that's what he's doing. Yeah. So
that's all you gotta ask of him.
Good for him. I hope he has a great season.
I agree. It's super nice to have him back. I think it's good for baseball that he's playing again.
I mean,
and that he seems to be having fun.
There was like what a year and a half period where he was just the most electrifying player on the planet.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, seemingly just as long a period where he either couldn't or wasn't allowed to play. So hopefully we can put all that back.
Let's hope he's just been bottling that up and saving it for now.
The fantasy face-off. So this is the first week that we're applying the new rules. The scoring system, essentially. We're doing the scoring system from our points league in that we're playing fantasy baseball in. We're just doing it straight. We're just doing the amount of points that those guys accumulated in our league with the scoring system that we have for the last week. Not my best week. How'd you do?
I did great. Nolan Gorman, I have him on my fantasy team as well, so double bonus points here. He didn't even start in a game, and he ended up coming off the bench and hitting a grand slam. That's just like, that's how the week went for him.
Awesome.
He tallied 52.8 points. I also got 19.9 from Sir Garrett Cole. Yeah.
So was that 72.7?
So Garrett Cole alone would have been enough to beat you because Adley got you 21.8.
And Sale got rocked.
Chris Sale got you negative 13. The negative points are a real game changer, one that Dan and I are struggling to overcome so far in this new league.
Yeah, especially this week. Who do you got going next week?
I'm going to ride with Ryan McMahon, who's having been cooking a little bit. Damn good season so far.
Yep.
And then Jack Flaherty, who also, he's on pace for comeback player of the year, if I do say so myself.
He's looked excellent, which is exciting because I thought he might have been one of those guys that just like stacked up shoulder problems so much that he just couldn't pitch anymore. So, because he was supposed to be like, until maybe, like a star.
Yes.
Cool. I'm going to go with our very own Brent Rooker.
Oh, now that's a good one.
And Grayson Rodriguez.
I like it. Good picks.
Well, hopefully this is the biggest, hopefully this is the most bummed out you're going to hear us. But we'll see. We'll keep you updated. We'll let you know what happens.
We've said it before, but feels real this time. It's hard to go down from here.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels pretty bad. But we're here. It was not fun. Honestly, wasn't super looking forward to coming on here and talking about this, but it wasn't that bad. We did fine.
And as we're wrapping up, the A's lose 5-3.
How appropriate. We will, next week will be a better week, folks, with better results and better news.
Until then.
Go A's.
Go A's.